Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody get up.
Yo, what's going on? What's the deal? What's happening? This is the mayor in the building, man. Geeks Palace Radio, Unsigned Artist Radio, Monday Night Blast Down. You know what it is. You know how we do it. Shout out to Universal Zulu Nation, man, before we get underway here, man. Enjoyed myself, man, at the events this weekend. Yo, Rodney C, I got you, my dude. You know, we talked about, my dude, Double Trouble and all that. I got you. Shout out to my man Kaz, you know, the whole cast of characters. Tito, I got you, my dude. Everything's everything. Enjoyed myself. to finesse this thing. You know what I mean? Everybody did their thing and got down, man. The main thing is seeing Chuck D at his Zulu Nation anniversary. That just made it for me right there. But anyway, man, we're here, man. Unsigned Artist Radio, man. TQ Palace, you got the mayor in the building, man. We're about to set it off lovely, man. I got my man Dollar Rise in the building. Got the joint called Big Money. So that's how we're going to get into it. TQ Palace, Unsigned Artist Radio. Let's go.
Same tip I'm on, ready to blow. I'm sitting on your click, and your chick wanna ride. And it drops 6:45, sitting on your spot. That money on my mind all the time, gotta get it. I'm trying to see them figures like Jay Diddy and Fitty. My paper too thick, my wallet can't close. I got more rings than the universe sold. I don't feel none of y'all, cause my hands froze. Rolling all of this. See, I'm the man, yo, tag dope. Money on top of money, that's what I'm talking about. Bounce with me if you know this what I'm talking about. Popular dollar, I am who they talking about. Ain't talking dollars and I don't know what you talking about.
Money, work hard every day, so I spend big money. Cause everybody know me, Dollar Rise. They call me the all pretty woman in my entourage. I'm a rock star.
Royal blue, Billy
is all the top. Getting money, player in the game, pimping out, I've been that. And who else better can bring light skin back? A trill cat, fresh meat, matching fitted cat. Being broke is a state of mind, I ain't into that. The luxuries I rap about, I'm really living at. And if you can relate, tell that DJ bring it back. Yeah, I'm trying to get up on this cash. I'll be on my toes while you sitting on your... Never had an off-night ball like I'm Jordan. I go real hard till I'm sitting on the fortune. I play real hard cause I work hard for it. That's why I'm at the bar tipping off y'all more.
Get money, hard every day. So I spend big money.
It's no frontin'. I live a good life every night, smash something. Getting chicken, only thing listed on the agenda. I get advance money, little homie, you a beginner. She wanna roll with him, she know how to spot a winner. She threw it at me fast like a baseball pitcher. Left hand on the wheel and my right hand liquor.
I hate a wanna jack in my lap, is a flicker.
Now I'm in the spot like them haters going through it. My music on the radio, your girl singing to it. Wishing she was with me cause she know that I'm the coolest. Got laid for days, my team is the bluest suit-ish. Working the trap and we all hustling. Doing what we gotta do to keep that money coming in. If I'm holding that work, Dollar Simmons, I'm rushing it. So I'm on the clock, non-stop for the love of
big money. Hard every day. So I spend big money.
That money, said big money by Dollar Rise in the building. You now tune in to Unsigned Artist Radio. TQ Palace is in the building. You got the mayor right here. 646-200-3838 is the math to call, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation, man. If you got something to say, you want to talk about anything pertaining to music or whatever, you know what I mean? Let's get it popping. You know, again, the weekend was lovely, man. I hope everybody out there did their thing, man. Enjoyed their weekend and stuff. Don't get a lot of time to get out there and mingle and party like I want to because, you know, trying to finish the school thing and this business plan is killing me. And it's a lot of work. But I get out when I can, man. Shout out to everybody, man, that's holding it down. My man Big Rich doing his thing, Miss Lavina behind the board and all that, you know what it is. Shout out to the Diva Squad, my man Chicky Chick. You gotta let me know, man, how my nephew did, man, at the shows, man. That's a good look. You know what I mean? Put my nephew Chase on and did a couple of them comedy shows, man, with you, man. So let me know how that went down. You know, shout out to Lil Keith. I seen that. Belvins and all that, man. I seen the little statue and all that, Lil Keith. That's funny. Shout out to the Belvins, man, doing their thing on Thursdays, man. GQ Palace Radio in the building. My man Rich doing his thing on Friday nights, Entertainment Sky Lee. Then, you know, it gets back around to Sunday, Miss Lavina doing it, and my man Scribby holding it down. I like how it's going down. I listen to the shows, man. I like how it's going down and making my man feel real welcome and comfortable and all that, and that's what it is. Then it gets back to Tuesday, you know, and skip it on Monday. You know, I do Monday things. I'm signing on his radio in the building, man, for an hour. Then Tuesdays is after further review, doing what we do on Tuesday nights, man, so on the sports tip. But once again, man, you got the man in the building, man, on the Monday night holding it down. Unsigned Artist Radio, GQ Palace is in the building. We're about to slide into the next joint. K Desert is in the house. His joint is called Burn It Up on GQ Palace, Unsigned Artist Radio. Let's get it.
Parasitic, all they do is feed. OT, where there's no winter. G's in the go-getters. Your boys are dead, you're on the corner. Where they call cheddar. She produce the product you need. Bad freaks named Alicia have a move in them keys. And I ain't talking about the singer or piano with the fingers on the app. Where they re-up making cash, where they sell cheetah. Speed, hustle harder, don't eat. And if you ain't welcome over here, then you better leave. And if the man speaks the threatens, and he won't stop yelling, dude, just won't kick rocks, then this is what you tell him. Tell him me. Keep something slick up his sleeve. Only green what I network. Believe I'm an expert. Skilled in the field of tripling my network. Hey, Paul, never been afraid of none of y'all. Plus I hit hard, stay in the Bronx like A-Rod. On the scene where they bubble up, team make them double up. Mad cause we carry kerosene, make them burn it up. Muscle game weak, he about to catch a hernia. Ice grills could kill, then he would be a murderer. But that's about it cause he ain't really about it. Keep coming in like you big, then he gon' get outie. Out slim. You don't want it with them, cause wow. We can make a perfect blend of the ground on your chin. And if the man wanna bleed, acting like he won't breathe, hit him with the ultimatum, pull out or get squeezed. Yeah.
Take it on the hop, take it on the hop, take it on the hop, take it on the hop.
Tell him burn it, burn it up, burn it, burn it, burn it up,
hey.
Burn it, burn it up, burn it,
hey.
Burn it, burn it up.
Tell him take it on the hop, take it on the hop,
yeah.
Take it on the hop, take it on the hop.
Tell him burn it, burn it up, burn it, burn it, burn it up.
Lean, if you know what I mean. Water the right amount of bread, says you do anything. You need to see what get low. Imagine for the whole low. Homegirl won't bring a friend cause he says he cut though. This is how you stunt though, say they both can't go. Invitation just for the arranger so you don't know. Don't wanna be a man, hun, I ain't with the handcuffs. Know you wanna slide, so just get inside the damn truck. Ready for your plans up, I'ma be the man, love. Next time you see me, probably be in Atlanta. Crew with the scramblers, move with money handlers. Call shots on corporate level blocks, etc. Coming better, hurry up, small talk, shut it up. Need a package delivered and you can be the carrier. I keep on riffing and she just won't listen. Stick to the script, miss, or you take it on the hot.
Take it on the hot, take it on the hot. Take it on the hot, take it on the hot.
You gotta burn it, burn it up, burn it, burn it, burn it up. Burn it, burn it up, burn it, burn it up.
Take it on the hop, take it on the hop,
yeah.
Take it on the hop,
take,
Palace Radio, Unsigned Artist Radio in the building. You got the mayor in the house, man. Shout out to my people out there looking out for the mayor and all that. So I sound kind of, you know, I got to put some sunshine in my voice. It's nighttime, yo. I'm going to put some moon in my voice. How about that? I'm in the building, man. Shout out to everybody, man, listening. The listeners, we see you too. You get to them, man. 646-200-0383. It is the math. They got me on a Monday night, man. The mayor is in the building. Unsigned Artist Radio, GQ Palace. Everything is everything, man, on a Monday night, man. You know, my Buccaneers is going to, you know, play on Monday Night Football, you know. We still don't have a win. Even Jacksonville won yesterday. So I can't say nothing to nobody. But it's all good. I hope I have some good news to report on after first review tomorrow night, man. But right now, we're about to get into some good music right now with my people, Joe. Word is bond, my people, man. You can't front on these cats right here. The Force MDs is in the building, man. They got a joint called Can't Thank You Enough, featuring Full Force. So turn your radios up. It's about to go down on GQ Palace, Unsigned Artist Radio. Force MDs featuring Full Force. Can't Thank You Enough. Let's get it.
Yeah, forces join forces, let's go. Reminisce on what we had, but I can't help but count the ways you've been there for me, and I don't think you know how much you mean to me, cause I hold you tight, cause it feels so right, cause from me to you, cause all I wanna do is
see the smile back on your face,
see the smile on your face,
and you know just how much of love in the morning, always see you through. What have I done for you? I should pull you close to me, have you see how much I love you, thankful for all that you do. I hope I see the smile on your face, because you know how much
yeah.
that's what I'm talking about right there, yo. True material, true artists, true joints, true passion, true flavor. Can't thank you enough by the Force Indies feature of Full Force, so don't get no flyer than that. But, yo, just taking it back, man, seeing the Force Indies before, you know what I mean? We was, you know, always doing their singing thing, but they was known as the Force MCs, man. Shout out to all of that, man. That's just classic hip-hop right there, man. And they always had the harmonies rocking and all that. And, you know, remember when they was battling the Cold Crush Brothers and all that good stuff right there. But that just takes me back. Shout out to the whole Zulu Nation, man. Universal Zulu Nation, man. That anniversary was all of that, man. Like it always usually is, man. Everybody doing their thing. You know, how was your weekend, man? I hope you, you know, did what you wanted to do. You know what I mean? It's kind of nice outside. It's kind of chilly outside, too. But, you know, make it happen. It's that time of year, man. The leaves are changing and all that good stuff. Try to get into that holiday mode. You know what I mean? It's about that time. They're going to be beating you in the head with all of that good stuff right there. You know what I mean? Salute to the veterans, man. You know, we don't forget today's Veterans Day, man. Salute. I'm a veteran myself, man. Did the Navy thing, Desert Storm and all that good stuff. Was a postal clerk on the USS Acadia. So it was what it was, man. We did our thing, whatever. Yeah, thank you, you know. We had females on our ship, but I ain't going to say nothing about that. It was wild. But we have to be off behind the scenes, off the air, and tell some stories about the old USS Acadia. Yeah, no, definitely. Applaud that. No doubt. It went down. It was crazy on the ship, but shout out to all my veterans, man, doing y'all thing, man, holding it down, man. The ones that's overseas now, you know, doing their thing, man. Everybody needs to come home, and that's all I'm going to say on that. I'm not going to get in no soapbox or nothing like that, but everybody needs to come home, man, and everybody needs to, you know, hold their corner down. But we here, man. Unsigned Artist Radio, GQ Palace. You got the mayor in the building. Shout out to everybody, man, that's doing their thing, man. Get ready to get ready for this cold season that's getting ready to pop off out here. Hope you bundled up or whatever. You know what I mean? Got everybody taken care of and all that good stuff. We're about to slide into this next joint right quick. Joint called Can't Walk Away by Kez Vocals. It's popping off for Unsigned Artist Radio, GQ Palace. Kez Vocals, Can't Walk Away. Let's get it popping.
Down.
right. Yo, that was the joint right there, Can't Walk Away, by the homie Rez Vocals. My bad, I was on some Kez Vocals. It must have been somebody else. That's the other Rez Vocals. But Rez Vocals is in the building, man. Can't Walk Away. You got the mayor in the house, man. Unsung Artist Radio, Chichi Palace is in the building, man. Shout out to my homie, man, Mike Hamlin, man. He's looking out for the kid, man. He's got a situation popping off, man. Big up to him and the whole situation over there at them recordings and all of that. Everything's everything, man. Hip-hop is definitely in the building, man. Hip-hop is definitely in effect this weekend, and hip-hop is always in effect. Shout out to my man, Lord Jamar, man, Brand Nubian and all of that. You know, he's been real vocal about his displeasure of how hip-hop is being portrayed today, recently, you know what I mean? And a lot of people are getting his whole entire message discombobulated, and they're filtering out, you know, the message and leaving, you know, just, you know, the stuff that they want to hear, which is basically negative. So it takes his positive story and what he has to say, and definitely, you know, by the time it's regurgitated and repeated back to you, it's a whole hodgepodge of nonsense. So shout out to Jamar, man. Keep doing your thing, man. I agree with you 150%, my G. It is what it is, man. And basically his story is all he's saying is that, you know, as the architects of this thing called hip-hop, man, we allow, you know, different people and other people from other, you know, cultures or whatever to come in our house. You know what I mean? And we're not saying that you can't have a seat and enjoy the atmosphere of our house. But you're not in no position to be talking about you want to change the furniture around or change how what's going on inside the house. Enjoy your stay. You a guest, straight like that. And that's all he's saying. And for people to take it and try to demonize the message and make it turn into something that, you know, that it's not meant to be, then that's on you. But you're not going to ever get the people like him and myself. Well, I feel exactly the same way he does, to change how we think. That's our stance. And all of that ageism, or you old and this and that and third, nah. You're not going to win that conversation because I got just as much stamina as you got, maybe more. So don't get it twisted. So you run that to them cats over there that scared of you and all that. I'm not scared of you. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is, and if you don't like it, then we could dialogue on it. And if not, then however you want to swing it, we could rock it. But all I'm saying is that you cats come here, wipe your feet on the door before you come in the crib. That's all. We made this thing, and it's happening. And nothing you could do, say, can change what's going on. And no disrespect, because there have been other cultures who contributed heavily to hip-hop. And there's other cultures that have taken away and didn't leave nothing for hip-hop to grow on. So you could take the message for what it is and put your own little spin on it and swerve it and contrive it and mold it to shape what makes you sleep at night, but that's fine. Because the original message is, we built this. You're not going to come in here and change nothing. So you take what you want to take out of it and feel however you feel. So that's what it is right there, man. Chichi Palace, Unsung Artist Radio. You got the man in the building, man. Got a little more passion in my voice now. How's that? Is that all right? 646-200-3838, man, is the math, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation, man. Just a shout-out, man, or whatever, man. We got you covered, man, all the way live, Chichi Palace Radio. We're about to get into this joint right here by the homie Ro called Ghetto Movie. You got the Ghetto Movie by Ro about to pop off on Unsigned Artist Radio with the mayor. Let's get it.
I show that we get the red soldiers. I fight for your life for this. system, I hold ya. No tears cry, rough life, mama told ya. No more dry when you're 40, and I know ya. It's sad when you're in it from your liquor to your older. The sky is the limit, that baby did I show ya. I'm just trying to see if it can't stop me. Can't move me, know they can't drop me. Been through the pain, but still moving. My life to get to some movie. My soundtrack to get to sound me. Sometimes I think I'm not losing. These streets are wrong, get confusing. My life to get to some movie. No fear, job street, also can't take that. Stop link, man, I sink at a quicksand. Niggas can't think when they bring figure lick shot. But side, that's the thing where they want for me wrist not. Another day, another sin, still can't find a rent. Another house, another way, reaching for a better day. Running out of options, had enough factions. Devising a plan, $2 in a option. I talk, can't catch flight, tired of the street life. Strong dog, millionaire, rapid rise, we no care. Rich jeans, them a scare, fuck with me, even care. This year, I the year, all or nothing here. Plus me off the streets to get coming out of neutral. Situation crucial, resistance futile. I rise like the perfect storm, like it's a movie. So right from those pull down like me, I'm cool. I'm a travel, they can't stop me. Can't move me, no, they can't drop me. Been through the pain, but still moving. My life's to get to some movie. My soundtrack's to get to some music. Sometimes I think I might lose it. These streets are wrong, get confusing. My life's to get to some movie. You stay up on your grind, one day you will shine. Fear never mind, to the top black of mine. Every job of a day, must find a way. Struggle for your time when the time come my mind. Don't lose your faith, the truth is the way. Man, write it down, keep them safe. Move in a silence, don't back violence. He's teaching time, let's use Bible for guidance. Don't watch no faith, we all wanna see. I can't hear a good life, get on one a full life. Ain't no magic, no focus, focus. Hard work, strength, never don't lose focus. Anyone talk, say it easy, I focus. Rapping a bird when you try to rise up. Soon as if you take one, move them aside up. So light broke, one time for your life. I'ma try to steal the keys down. Can't move me, no, they can't block me. Been through the pain, but still moving. My life to get to some movie. My soundtrack to get to some music. Sometimes I think I might lose it. These streets are wrong, get confusing. My life to get to some movie. Some shots are still, they can't stop me. Can't move me, no, they can't block me. Been through the pain, but still moving. My life to get to some movie. My soundtrack to get to some music. Sometimes I think I might lose it. These streets are wrong, get confusing. My life to get to some movie.
That was the homie Roll right there. His life like a ghetto movie and all that. We blasting off right here, man. GQ Palace Radio, Unsigned Artist Radio, Monday nights. You got the mayor in the building. We touched up a few joints already. We blasted off with Big Money by Dollar Rise. Then we broke it up with K Desert. Then we came off with Can't Thank You Enough by the Force and D's featuring Full Force. That's what it is right there. And my homie Rez Vocals, Can't Walk Away. And then the last joint we just touched off was Ghetto Movie by the homie Ro. Got the mayor in the house, man. You know what we do, man. Blast off every Monday night, man. Unsigned Artist Radio. You want your joints played. Get at me, man. Get at the crew, man. GQ Palace Radio, man. And they'll definitely get your joints on. But a little piece of advice, man. If you're going to send your music to be played, send a little bio information, man, so we can know who you are, know who you represent, you know, so people can get in contact with you, man, if they enjoy your music. All right, so that's what it is, man. GQ Palace, Unsigned Artist Radio. Shout out to the big homie Rich doing his same thing. Miss Lavina behind the board, holding it down as always. That's the hardest job, holding it down as always, pushing all the buttons and all of that. Got to be on point because, you know, when the bell be ringing, I'll be knowing who's calling and, you know, how that go. But we here, man, live and direct, one more again on a Monday night, holding it down. We about to jump into this joint right here by my man Big Will. Her Love is what he's talking about on Unsigned Artist Radio. GQ Powers in the building. Let's go.
Yeah. Big Will, baby.
It's her love, her love, it's her love that kept me strong through all the hard times in my life. It's her love, her love, her love. I found the thing that changed me, but she's the one that saved me. It's her love.
It's her love every day that I long for. Through my ups and downs, it held me down more.
through the darkest of nights and when the rain poured. Can't express my feelings, but I pray for the type of love you give me that I do adore. You're my one and only that I called for. I wouldn't trade it for nothing, I'm never bluffing. When I'm talking about your loving, this nigga ain't never fronting, Through the state, bitch, you've been my main whiz. For you, I travel the world and cross any bridge. Cause without your love, boo, I can't live. Never left me alone or in the dark, kid. It helped me down through the toughest of times. I thank the Lord that your love is mine, It helped me down through the toughest of times. I thank the Lord that your love is mine. Now holla at me. I've been through all types of drama, stressing about my kids, beefing with my baby mama. Living on the run, house trying to make a dollar. On the low from the D's cause they looking for a collar. At times I felt like cocking the revolver. Subtract me from the world and take me from this karma. Her love pulled me out and knocked me to my senses. Told me I could do it, just climb up over the fences. These are life lessons, regressions equal depression. Living in the trenches, hoping, looking for a blessing. Recollecting these are true life confessions. Speaking through a plan, expressing life through a session. Addicted to your love, wouldn't trade it for a second. Baby, you the answer to all of my vital questions. You're my one and only girl, resurrecting my redemption. You're my one and only girl, resurrecting my redemption. Around the world for, cross the seven seas, battle, go to war for, cock the thing, let off shots in their four door, in the name of love, those are things that I'm all for. If I die today, don't shed a tear, cause my soul couldn't take it, that's my one and only fear. Watching you stressed out, cause your man ain't there, living life through an image, but I always disappear. Voicemails always plain, stuff glued to your ear, calling on the Lord, asking why he wasn't spared. Not me. I wouldn't do it, left the life in the past, a young truant. In the fast lane, praying I wouldn't lose it. Swerving through the lanes, her love is what got me through it. Focus on the future, changing her life through music. She's my wife and my life, without her I couldn't do it.
Dial, man, press 1 to get on the air and let your voice be heard.
We about to slide into the next joint because we don't do too much talking over here. We let the music speak for itself. I'm Ready by Mike J in the building. Unsigned Artist Radio, Chief Palace in the building. Let's rock.
Where you at, Mike?
Okay, let's go.
When I wake up and think of you, just you and I, but that don't equal two. I'm only myself with you on my side. And I'ma tell you this, looking in your eyes.
I'm ready.
Yeah, you know I'm ready for you.
I'm ready. It's your boy Mike J.
I'm ready. Yeah. The R&B,
the
R&B
tango.
Artist Radio, Tiki Palace is in the building, man. My Buccaneers is trying to go in for a touchdown, man. I'm kind of giddy right now, man. We on Monday Night Football. We got no wins, but it's all good. We're going to get one tonight, man, before it's all over with. And tomorrow night, you'll hear some happy, happy joy in the mayor's voice and all that. You got the mayor in the building, man, holding it down. Monday Night Live, Tiki Palace, Unsigned Artist Radio. We ran through a few joints, man. hope you enjoyed what you heard and we enjoyed playing it for you. Once again, man, shout out to everybody, man, who was at the Super anniversary this weekend, man. Ran into some good people, man, and saw some great performances and stuff like that, man. Let's keep it rocking, man. And no matter what happens, man, whoever don't know about it, that's them, man. Just, you know, the people that do know about it, care about it, and, you know, you see the people all the time that's coming through, and it's a worldwide event. So there's some local tri-state situation, man. You got people from everywhere. I met Zulus from California, Zulus from Tokyo, Japan, Zulus from Switzerland. So it's a worldwide thing, and they make the homage, you know, every year to New York City, man, to get it in, man, with the Zulus and all that, and it's definitely appreciated. So, man, we riding out, man, Monday Night Live, man. Unfound Artist Radio, TC Palace. We got the man in the building holding it down on a Monday night, man, doing what we do. Let's slide into some more music. We got Journal is in the building, man, and they're about to get into this thing called Miss Vanity. Miss Vanity is about to be talked about on GQ Palace Unsigned Artist Radio. Let's get it popping.
You think you're special, but you're really not. You think you got it all, but what have you really got? Yeah, you may have the right clothes, but not the right heart. No, not the right heart. You may have the right love, but not the right smile. So when it's all said and done, you'll be all alone. You can bet on it. Yeah, everything that you love, it will be all gone. Can you live without it? Miss Vanity, can you make sure to the sun? Can you make sure to the sun? Make me look good to the right. But can I give you dignity? Then I can give you what you need. No, baby, never. No, no, baby, never. Never, never, never. You're perfect, but you're truly flawed. You think you're winning, girl, but you're at a loss. Yeah, you may have the right clothes, but not the right heart. No, not the right heart. You may have the right love, but not the right spot. So when it's all said and done, you'll be all alone. You can bet on it. Yeah, everything that you love, it will be all gone. Can you live without it? Miss Vanity, can you make love to the stars? Can you make love to the stars? Feel me look good 'cause I'm rusty. But can I give you dignity? Then I can give you what you need. No, baby, never. No, no, baby, never. Never, never, never.
Yeah, you got the looks. Yeah, you got the clothes. Yeah, you got the jewels, but they don't mean nothing. Spent your whole life bluffing, buying bullshit just to try and feel something. But here comes the coldest part. It's cold out there when you're lonely in the dark. You're trying to warm up to material things and they just ain't working, so you try to call me, but no, I'ma be gone. Moving on to the next one. While you're trying to sleep with shopping bags and your checkbook.
Yeah, everything that you love, it will be all gone. Can you live without it? Miss Vanity, can you make love to the sun? Hey, me look good 'cause I'm rusty. But can I give you dignity? Then I can give you what you need. No, baby, never. No, no, baby, never. Never, never. Miss Vanity, can you make love to the sun? Can you make love to the sun? Can they give you dignity? Then they can give you what you need. No, baby, never. No, no, baby, never. Never, 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 never.
Peace. That was Journal. Miss Vanity was trying to give her what she need. Shout out to my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hey, hey, hey. Guys, touchdown, that's what it is. Whole rap. That's right. Whole rap. That's what it is. That's what it is, man. We here, man. Unproud Artist Radio, Chico Palace. We got the mayor in the building holding it down, man. Monday Night Live. We got a couple minutes left in the show, man. I want to shout out everybody, man, that gets down, man, every night, man, that GQ Palace is on the air, man. You know, we got you covered, man, all week long, man. We do what we do. Shout out to the Diva Squad, man. They do their things on Wednesday nights, man, with my man Cheeky Chick. He comes on right after them. Get your laugh on and all that. Shout out to the Belvins, man. They're going to have a pretty interesting bunch of shows coming up here the next few months, man. It's going down with them. Friday nights, my man Rich is doing the entertainment thing, checking out and interviewing the hottest artists in the game right now. Hear their stories, man, uncensored, live and direct, man, and unfiltered. So check out the homie Big Rich on Friday nights, the entertainment situation. Sunday is Miss Lavina and my man Scribby bring it back around full circle. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I got you. Bring it back full circle on Sundays. You know, to get everybody prepared for their week, man, with some praise and testimony, and you know they get it in like that. Shout out to my man Squib. You sound real comfortable right there, my dude. I'm hearing you. Then you know it's Monday, Unsigned Artist Radio, man. And I would be remiss, man. I'd be playing myself if I didn't mention Miss Deanne Lane. She's getting ready to pop off her show, Love, Life, and Loyalty, man, from 9 to 11. So don't go nowhere. We got you covered. You know what I'm saying? So don't go nowhere, man. It's going down hard body karate. That's what we do. We got to slide into this joint, Real Deal by LC, and then we're going to come right back real quick, and then we got one more joint to play, and then we'll get it and turn it over to Ms. Deanne Lane. So we got Unsigned Artist Radio, GQ Palace, the mayor's in the building, Real Deal by LC. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen.
We know. You already know. It's the movement, baby.
I'm in LA.
West Side. Ha ha. LC.
I'm in LA. I'm
Hey yo, hey yo, scream and flow with it, you hear me, you get the flow touch. Hot with the flow, what I spit, I burn your mouth up. Execute and destroy the beat, be the enemy. So I jumped on it, the roasted is just a part of me. Basic mathematics, is fast addict, is back at it. Haters need to rest, but I'm flexing, they need a craftmatic. I know you tired, the wait is over, I'm right here. I'm in the building, so keep it moving, we good here. The only thing we poppin' would be your talk here. That be my story, and sticking to it is nothing else. Cause nowadays when you love fly, they tryna tell. I rep the XBX, baby, I'm born raised. New York swag and my Diddy Bop, it's not a game. So when you hear me, you can tell that it's not a game. I'm like a jewel in the case, homie, we can tag. It says real deal, nobody can buy that.
I'm
real with it,
West swag.
I see the damn
movement.
Sick wind,
bass.
It's going down.
God bring.
I'm real with it,
don't.
El sizzle, hit on my ninja when you attack it. Smoke everywhere, I'm setting it on fire. Trying to stay away from you fake phonies and liars. Put them in the zone, I'm grown, I'm full blown. I'm that dude, rock hoodies with polo colognes. Only talk about checks and getting money to flip. And five whips with chicks getting right with this. I can get it from afar, I do this with no barb. I rock hard, but feel me, you're busy with bars. I air routes, you said, I do this since I'm a threat. When I rep, the stress hanging through from his neck. And I get points from y'all, the kid did good job. Pen and pad on the table with beats that bang hard. Smash out anything, I'm doing the damn thing. L got sizzle, baby, they're killing the damn thing. Real,
I'm real with it,
West swag.
I'm
in the damn
movement.
Sick wind,
bass.
It's going down.
God bring.
I'm real with it,
don't.
I'm in the damn
movement.
I'm sick with it.
Yo, that was Real Deal by LC. Yo, shout out to the homie LC. Yo, I got some fire for that beat right there. But anyway, man, Unsigned Artist Radio, GQ Palace, you got the mayor in the building holding it down on a Monday night, man. Just before you get ready to slide into the situation with Ms. Deanne Lane, doing her same thing from 9 to 11. take you into some reality. So nice, I got to say it five times. It is what it is. So before we get out of here, man, we got one more joint, man. It's going to ride out. We're going to ride out with by my man Silver Fox. It's called The Myth. Once again, thanks, everybody, for checking out the show, man. We're here every Monday night, man, 8 to 9, before Ms. Deanne Lane gets into her show. Thanks to the big homie, man, Mr. Lena behind the board. Y'all do what y'all do, man. Definitely appreciate y'all. All right, get into this joint, man. I'll be back Monday. You can check me out tomorrow night after further review. Shout out to all the hosts. Shout out to the listeners. We see y'all soon. Silver Fox, The Mist. Let's go, man. It's The Man. I'll check y'all out next Monday. Tomorrow after further review. Peace.
Thank you. This is Deanne Lane. Welcome to Love, Life, and Loyalty here on Q Palace Radio with my co-host, Mr. Mario. Tonight's show revolves around life as a military veteran. Their sacrifice is something to admire and respect. One day a year is not enough to pay homage to those who have fallen, for those who have been wounded, for those who have witnessed the unimaginable, and for those who stood by their loved ones who have gone off to serve our country. Here at Sacrifice. Thank you. Welcome back to Love, Life, and Loyalty. Today is that day we celebrate those who have fought and continue to fight for our liberties. For a human being to put on a uniform and walk the good walk for me and my family, I have to bow and salute to those who do what they do when they leave their loved ones to fight on my behalf. And I like to celebrate my husband, who is a E-4 specialist, veteran, of course, formerly in the Army in Fort Lewis. He's a 13 Bravo. So I want to give a shout out to my husband as well. Mr. Mario?
Yes, I would like to say thank you to all those that have served and all those who are currently serving. Today is a special day for me as well, as my father was a member of the United States Marine Corps as a Lance Corporal and also a rifle sharpshooter. He patrolled the Mediterranean Sea during Vietnam. So today is a special day, you know, for me to be able to pay tribute to him and all the others who helped to protect and keep us safe. So I would like to say thank you to the 1 million-plus men and women currently serving active duty in the armed forces and all those who have served in the United States military. Veterans Day is a time for us to thank those who sacrificed so much to keep us safe and protect our freedoms. These men and women sacrifice time with their spouses, their kids, their family. They sacrifice their mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. They see and endure things many of us can't even imagine. So as we prepare ourselves to feast for the holidays, remember those who are sacrificing time with their family to protect our liberties and keep all Americans safe. Your efforts are greatly appreciated, and once again, I would like to say thank you. For tonight's show, we began tonight's show at the Star Spangled Banner. We chose the one by Whitney Houston that she sung in 1991 during the Gulf War. The reason we chose the song was, you know, you have the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, the World Series, and they all are big events that start by paying tribute to our country. And that song just gives off a sense of pride and, you know, pays homage to so many that have sacrificed their lives and given so much for us to be in the situation that we're in today. What do you think about the Star Spangled Banner, Deanne?
I think it's one of those, like you said, one of those songs that just really radiates a pride that only, you know, an American can really understand, you know. And when you know its history, it's something that really allows you to, you know, understand where this song came from and how it has evolved with the different voices and the different, I guess, the way they composed the song over the years. And, you know, I always like to try to know what I'm celebrating and where certain things come from. And, you know, it's amazing how I've had the opportunity to actually go back and actually check my, do some fact-finding. And, you know, we already know that Francis Scott Key wrote the song, but a lot of people don't know why. And
what?
Sorry?
I was going to say, why did Francis Scott Key write it?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know that at the time he wrote this song, he was in the middle of a hostage negotiation. And it was during the British War, where the British had come over and they had actually attacked Fort McHenry. And they had one of our fellow Americans hostage. And here it is, Francis Scott Key. He's a lawyer. So he's there trying to get this gentleman free from the British. And he really, you know, during his negotiations, he actually sat back and watched the war actually go on while, you know, standing in the back trying to get hold of this American that was being held hostage. And through his observations, a lot of people don't know that when he was actually watching the rocket flare over the skies, okay, he actually took his pen out and just started writing. Something just overcame him. He just started writing, and this is where the Star Spangled Banner came from.
Oh,
isn't that something? Isn't that something?
That's an interesting piece of information there. I don't, you know, I think a lot of people might have just learned something new from that fact. You know, one of the things that, you know, there's Veterans Day and then there's Memorial Day, and a lot of people, some people may not know the difference between the two. Memorial Day is a day that we use to honor and remember military personnel who died in the service of their country. Those who died in battle as a result of wounds sustained during battle. Veterans Day is largely intended to thank living veterans for their service, to acknowledge their contributions to our national security, and to underscore the fact that all those who served, not only those who died, have sacrificed and done their duty for the country.
Wow. I didn't know that. You know, and I often get the two mixed up, not knowing.
And,
I'm sorry?
To go back to the national anthem, as a teenager, I got the opportunity to go to Amsterdam and play in a baseball tournament. So it was pretty neat that the game we played for third place, we had the honor of having our national anthem played on European soil. So to stand on that white chalk and hear your national anthem played in another country kind of just feels, sends chills through you, like I want to go and play and do the best I can for my country.
Wow, that's a beautiful thing when you can bring pride home and you're actually, you know, you're over there representing your country. And in many ways, you know, you're a hero in your own right. You know, and, you know, you go over there, you bring back a little bit of pride for us to feel good, you know. Because, you know, remember, we came from the British. We had, not that we came from the British, but we fought for our freedom from the British. So that's a beautiful thing whenever you can hear that. You know, the history is something that I always try to tell people. Whenever you celebrate any holiday, something, you know, someone had to sacrifice for the holiday. And the one thing I always try to tell people, you know, when I think about the Arlington National Cemetery, you know, it's that place where you have to always remember that the veterans that we honored, you know, and who have passed on, you know, during the war. That's a place that I always believe that, you know, it should be a lot more attention brought to that place, because so much, you know, has been sacrificed. Now, life is one thing you lose, but, you know, it's how you lose your life. And for someone to put their life on the line for me, and you don't even know me, it's, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. I just always tell people, all of the cemetery, all of the National Cemetery, I should say, is that place, you know, it's sacred ground, but it should be more given more attention, I should say, at least in my respect.
Hello?
Well, hello? Yeah, so didn't know if you heard me when I said that. A little glitch in the sound, but Veterans
and
Day.
And I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think it is a place that pays homage to so many, and there are so many stories that could be told out of Arlington National Cemetery, so many stories that will never be told at Arlington National Cemetery. I think it is one of those places that could be publicized more, and, you know, days like today and Memorial Day as well, it should be a day when a place like Arlington National Cemetery is placed in the spotlight and brought to the forefront.
Right, and I totally agree. Also, too, you know, a lot, you know, I think about the numbers of you know, though we have our many who have gone on and sacrificed themselves for us, I do think about, it's about roughly, I think it's roughly about 24 million living veterans that are actually walking amongst us today. That's a lot of people, and those are a lot of stories.
And you speak of the 24 million living veterans. There were 400,000 United States Armed Forces who died during World War II alone. So, you know, you look back at World War II and 400,000 soldiers lost during that battle. You look at the current wars that were fought in Afghanistan and Iraq and the lives that have been lost for those. So to say that there are 24 million living, you know, there's a lot of stories, there's a lot of blessings that those 24 million were brought back to their families.
Yeah, and that's a lot going on there, you know, and I just always say just one day a year, really, just one day. I'm thinking, how about a month in the beginning of the year and the end of the year? Because, me personally, I could not imagine having to suit up and leave my family and go off to a strange place and not knowing what I'm going to face. And to know I have a child at home and a husband at home and a life, family, friends. It just takes something just beyond human within someone, I think, to just gracefully lay down their own lives and sacrifice what they know and love and go forward with, you know, fighting for their country, their fellow countrymen.
And we talk about the, you know, the servicemen and women from this country who are deployed, you know, but let's give a honor to the kids of those soldiers who stay behind, and they may, you know, move from one place to another, and the battles that they go through when their parents may be deployed. Some may have one parent deployed, some may have two parents deployed, and just varies based on the situation. But doing some research, I found on realwarriors.net tips on how to help children adjust when a parent leaves for deployment. One way is to communicate. Show the child that they can ask questions and discuss their thoughts and feelings and be open and honest with them and help them work through the emotions and reactions. Connect with them and keep in touch as much as possible with the deployed parent through letters, photos, emails, phone calls, Skype, Twitter, Facebook. There's a variety of ways to do this now, thanks to the technology and advancements in technology that we have. Stay involved in your child's education. Let the teachers and educators at your child's school and in the system know what your children's situation is so that maybe they can provide services and make accommodations for them. You also want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. increase your children's physical well-being. Have them eat healthy. Eat together as a family. You know, keep them active in sports and clubs and hobbies so that they won't think about it constantly. They'll have something there to take their mind away from it. And there are behaviors that you expect for some kids won't eat. You know, some are fussy. Some have tantrums. The older kids, they kind of isolate and turn to peers. They may become risk takers. And they could show signs of anger or depression. You know, when you're in constant flux and you're used to having a mom and dad there, and now they've been pulled away, and you're hoping that they come home, and you're hoping that everything is okay. And you see your friends there with their mom and dad, it kind of puts you in a different place.
Definitely. And I agree. I'm not a military child, but I do know of people who have children and they are deployed, and I just don't know how they manage that. And that's another hat they wear, being a long distance parent. That's a monumental task in itself. You have to worry about protecting me, my country, and your children, but yet you're not there to protect your children physically because you're just not there. You know.
Yeah. And that has to be tough. You know, when you look at the emotions that the kids go through, but think about the parents as well when they're away from their kids, and here you are. You know, you're depressed, you're wondering how your kid's doing, hoping that you're making it back home to your kids. And getting that phone call or being able to see them on Skype or FaceTime is just a special moment for them.
Gotcha. You know, before we get too deep tonight, you know, I know we got some other guests coming on who are actual veterans and those who are dealing with spouses who are deployed. You know, there's a lot of things veterans don't know that they're entitled to, you know, and it was just kind of nice to find the different freebies that were being given away to veterans today. A lot of people may not know here on the East Coast right now, what time is it, about 9:30 now? About 9:15? Okay, so if you're on the East Coast, most of these places will stop giving away some of these freebies. We're going to announce them throughout the entire show this evening. But we know that there's California time, which is, 3 hours behind us, and then Central Time, 2 hours difference. And I'm just going to give a shout-out to Applebee's. You know, Applebee's tonight, if you're on the East Coast, okay, if you are an active military person or veteran, okay, you're going to get a free entree on Monday. This offer is valid for dinner only, and you have to show proof of ID. You can't just walk in and say, I'm a veteran. You know how to go. You got to show and prove. And so if you didn't know, the Applebee's is giving away. Bar Louie. Now, I don't know what Bar Louie is, per se, but I do, I you know, someone just said to me they know, but I don't think it's on the East Coast. But if it is.
There's one in Nashville, I know.
Okay, so it's on that end, so that's where, okay. And they're offering veterans and active duty military members with a free meal, okay, up to $12 value on Sunday and Monday. Well, we just missed Sunday because we come on Monday. And with a valid, of course, military ID and proof of service. That's just another shout-out. Bob Evans. We don't have a Bob Evans on the East Coast, do we?
Possibly.
Possibly, right? So if you didn't know, Bob Evans is offering veterans and active duty military members free, all you can eat hotcakes on Monday with a valid military ID. And one more place I know is right near my house. And if you're listening, Boston Market, okay, is offering veterans and active military members a free whole chicken with the purchase of a family meal on Monday with a valid military ID. So that's just a little tidbit. If you didn't know, it's a beautiful thing to know that at least these different types of establishments are offering and showing their appreciation in a nice way.
So go enjoy your free meal, free entree at Applebee's or Bar Louie's, Boston Market, Bob Evans for hot cakes. Yeah. Make your birthday veteran.
Yeah, you definitely. You know, this is that day veterans to take advantage of everything that they get. I mean, honestly, just give, because I think that's just, you know, that's the least we could do. you know, I personally think you should get a key to the city every chance you can.
They should, right?
So listen, we're gonna take a moment. We'll have a quick commercial for Max Media Studios, and then after that, we're gonna come up with a quick song by not sure what we're gonna have come up with this second. Believe it or not, you know, it's so much good. I guess Life Keeps Moving On by Aaliyah Adams. All right, so we'll be right back.
This is Dean Lane giving credit to Max Media Studios, who designed my website, DeanLane.com. They are a video marketing, web design, and branding agency that specializes in generating leads and online sales for authors as well as small business owners. Their services include web design, video editing, online marketing, and graphic design. To learn more about how they can help you like they helped me turn my vision into sales, visit their website at www.maxmediastudios.com/radio or call them at 1-704-699-3524. This is Deanne Lane, giving credit when credit is due.
My heart, I know I must be strong.
This is Dee Lane. Welcome back to our Veterans Day salute with my co-host, Mr. Mario, here on Love, Life, and Loyalty. Tonight's show revolves around life as a military veteran. Joining us tonight are...
Retired Master Sergeant Daniel Grant. Is Mr. Grant there?
Yes.
And we also have Jasmine Sims with us tonight as well.
Good evening.
Good evening, Jasmine.
Good evening.
Mr. Grant, welcome.
Thank you.
We would like to thank both of y'all for being a part of this show for our Veterans Day special. And Sergeant Daniel Grant, if you would just give your name and two sentences that would describe your military situation.
My name is Daniel Grant, retired Master Sergeant, and been retired now since 91. I am retired in Fort Richardson, Alaska, and I stayed up there for approximately 13 more years and then relocated here in Georgia. And I'm presently retired, totally retired now.
Okay. And Ms. Sims, you're the, if I'm correct, you're the spouse of an active deployed military soldier, not correct?
I am.
Okay, and would you just tell us a little bit about your situation?
situation is the word. I'm a newlywed, actually. We've been married 9 months, but been in a relationship for the past 10 years. So this is our fourth deployment.
Wow.
And he is presently deployed in Kuwait this particular time.
Oh.
So we did... last year, he was in Korea, and he literally came home for about 21, 22 days for the wedding, and then he left 4 days later. And he came home in July for R&R, and then he's right back out. So I have to wait for him to return in February.
Okay. Wow.
Sergeant Grant, you're married as well, correct?
Yes, I've been married for 47 years. My wife spent all 26 years in the military with me, and we raised our family in the military also.
So you might have a little advice for Ms. Sales here.
Yeah.
Yes, I realized with her husband being deployed, I don't know, you know, you've just got to be strong and keep the faith and keep prayed up and... And you know, it's a special wife that sticks by her husband for, you know, for through his military career, because there's going to be times that you're going to sit back and you're going to wonder, you know, what am I doing? You know, I'm all alone. But at the end, you'll appreciate, you know, just staying there and being there supporting him.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we're definitely at that point.
Yeah.
What are we doing? So.
Yes.
But I appreciate your words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a difficult. It's just been a real difficult transition. I think more so from the standpoint that we're considered what we would be considered an older couple in the military, because we've had a lot of them get married really early. And so it's difficult when you're in a position where, like myself, I have 12 years in on my career, and I don't have any children. And so my entire life now in school and finishing up my degrees and setting my own career path now, I have to make a decision and make – well, all of my decisions are now based on him.
Wow.
So that's difficult when you're – in your mid-30s and you got your plan figured out. And so we stay prayed up, I will say that.
So being that your husband is currently deployed, what are some of the things you two do to continue to foster your marriage and keep your marriage and relationship strong?
I think, well, for me, I think it's a little, he's a military child. And so, and I'm coming from a very different background. My father was a professional athlete, so I was used to the man of the house being gone. And so I view it in the sense of what I saw, that my mom took care of everything while he was gone, and when you return, everything needs to be in order, and you figure out your way, figure out how to fit back into what's already established. And so it's, I don't think the distance is the issue for me, so I think it's easier because I'm outgoing and I'm lighthearted, so when we're talking, thank God, we're not talking about issues and I don't have problems that, you know, he can't correct while he's there, and I make an effort not to burden him with things that will worry him. I know that's my number one attempt that I do. And we're texters. I thank God for technology. We text. And so when he texts me in the morning, it's like, you know, the time difference right now. He's 8 hours ahead. So when he's texting me something funny or something that happened a couple of years ago, and or it's some movie line. We love that one. We play movie games. So he'll say one part of a movie, and I got to give him the response of what the other actor said in some scenario. So we're real silly with it.
You know, you're blessed because when I were during my deployment, we didn't have cell phones back in those days.
Oh, yes, my uncles. And I have uncles.
We only corresponded through letters or cards. Every now and then we'd get, you know, we could use the phone. Maybe one. I tried to call home at least once a month when I was in the areas that I could. Even in Vietnam, I was across from a telephone exchange, so I got a chance to call at least once a month. So it wasn't, you know, the whole while I was over there.
Well, I was going to ask Mr. Gray. I was going to say, you know, you've been there for a while. I was going to say, did you guys text? And I was saying to myself, I don't think they had that during that time.
No.
We were all writing letters. And so the veterans in my family have really shown me the difference, which I'm not taking for granted. But I think that texting is one thing, because when you're hearing voices and you're hearing sadness or you're hearing missing people, words are very different paper or on a computer screen. So I think that makes it easier because, you know, if he calls me, because he's extremely sensitive to what goes on with me, I thank God that I have somebody that cares about me during the deployment. So, you know, if it's something as simple as a headache, like I just thought my head's hurting, or, you know, he senses that in my voice. So sometimes it's just a good thing just to be texting. It's like, I'm good, you good? Because he's just really, really sensitive to my voice and listening to different things, just as I am with his. So
that's beautiful. I take my hat off to you. I mean, I couldn't walk in your shoes, not to say unless I had to, but you are a very strong woman. Very strong.
Girl.
Yes.
But I didn't know that about myself.
Really?
Like you said, until I was put in that position.
Okay.
And so I took those types of things for granted. And when we first started dating, just like Mr. Grant was explaining, when you're away, you don't have all of those, you know, the availability, especially when they're at war. So when we did our two tours in Iraq, it was just a very different process then. Because then when I talked to him, it was literally I talked to him when he could, you know, talk to me. And so there would be days that he was, like, super-duper sad or super-duper scared, and I'd still have to, you know, pull that tough mode, like, well, I'm not trying to hear that because you need to get home.
Right.
So pull yourself together and come home. And then, of course, I cry. I'm hanging up the phone, and I'm boo-hoo crying, but I couldn't. I had to, you know, prime myself, like, well, I don't want to hear that. You get on your knees and pray and do what you need to do to be safe. Because I'm not trying to do this without you, so you need to get home.
Wow.
So those were the things that I had to pull from to try to get myself to that place. So I built that strength. But it was a difficult process for me. It really was, because I just didn't know all of the things that came into being a part of a military situation, to being with a man that was in the military. So it took me a while to get it. But I think I got it pretty. I think I'm pretty good at it now.
Yeah, you sound.
You sound like you got it together.
Yes, she does. Sound like she's
yeah.
really holding
yeah.
Well,
it.
Well, I'll tell you what. It took this whole 10 years to get there. But I appreciate it. That's good.
A veteran
like Mr. Grant says, I'm on my mark. But you just have to find what works for you guys.
It's got to be rough on you guys, now because, I only had one combat tour in Vietnam. And, and I got a grandson that's been in the military now for 12 years.
Wow.
And he's had two tours to Iraq, one in Afghanistan, and he's been to Korea twice.
Wow.
It's...
That's what we're doing, We've had two tours in Iraq. We had our tour in Korea, and now we're doing our tour in Kuwait.
Can I interrupt to ask a question? Mr. Grant, let me ask you a question. Is it normal to do so many tours in the military? I mean, during your time where you had your one tour, do you think things are just getting so out of control?
I think what it is in those days, and it's still the same way. Now it's you deploy more or less with the unit, but when I went over there, we went over there to fill the position, and so we went. A lot of people it was, I guess, if you were infantry, you probably got two or three tours in Vietnam, but I was in logistics, so I only got one tour over there. And that was in 67, 68.
Wow.
And but I've known some of my friends who been over there two or three times, and it depends on your MOS
gotcha.
what your job is.
Okay. Yeah. So let our listeners know who are not familiar with the MOS. MOS would be considered your
military occupation specialty.
Okay, just want to make sure, because some of us, some of us first
yeah.
time.
Yeah, their job, like civilians would be their job description.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I guess my question to you, Mr. Grant, in Jasmine, I guess, when you start talking about war and the fear, I mean, Mr. Grant, how did you deal with, did you have to deal with the fear of possibly
yes,
not coming home?
Yes. In situations, I say you get stupidly brave.
Really?
At times, base camp getting hit, I would, instead of being in the bunker, I was on top of the bunker looking to see where the rounds were hitting, which
really?
Was dumb, in those days. I just feel that that you just know that. Just keep prayed up and ask God to look after you. And after that, you just you don't worry about it. You really don't.
So, Dr. Grant, when you were in Vietnam, what were some emotions that you experienced, and how did you deal with those emotions?
As I said, it was rough. It was really rough because here again, I had just I got married. I hadn't been married but a little over a year, and when I went to Vietnam. And it was rough, being away from my wife and seeing my friends, my people that are around me getting wounded and killed, that's the hard part about it, being actually out there, even though I wasn't in infantry, I still was in combat because we had what you call reactionary force, and we had to go on the road and. And so we still got in firefights, and you see your buddies blowing up, and it really takes a toll on you, It's just here recently in the last 5 years, I have been able to even talk about it without just breaking down,
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
What motivated you to join the service event? And once you answer that, I want to talk about some of the illnesses like PTSD and traumatic brain injury that the soldiers are going through now.
Okay. I'm originally from Savannah, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my mother and an aunt and an uncle within a year's time, and I just needed to get away. Well, I was drafted. I had to go be to the draft to see whether I was, class one, class two, class, And usually if you come back class 1A, and within 2 weeks you get your notice to report to Fort Jackson or wherever. Well, when I got my notice back, I went down immediately and volunteered so I could get the job that I wanted rather than being stuck in somewhere where the Army just wanted to put me.
Gotcha.
And after my first tour in Korea, I got out for 40. In Vietnam, I got out for 43 days, and I felt like I was lost, like I didn't belong.
Wow.
So I re-enlisted, and the rest is history. I stayed in 26 years, 2 months, and 10 days.
Wow. You nailed it down to the number. Wow. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, I did have it down to the day to the hour.
You're
going
to know down to the hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry, Jazz, I was going to ask you, do you know why, I mean, what was your, because you said your husband's a military, so you think that, you know, he enlisted because of a military family situation where, you know, but wait.
No, I don't think that's what they, because he attended FAMU.
Okay.
So when he entered, I think, like Mr. Grant was explaining, I just think that there was a time gap for him.
Okay.
There was a place that he just couldn't find his niche, I believe.
Mm.
Gotcha.
Judging from how he's expressed it to me.
Yeah. And I think that's the case with a lot of young men too. You know,
now that I'm able to see and be a part of that culture,
mm-hmm.
I see that there's a real gray area, especially for African American men.
Okay.
Right.
When they're entering into society, and it's like, yeah, I've got this degree and I've gotten educated, but I still don't know me and who I am. And so he's originally from Jacksonville.
Okay.
And so
when
he came, that's how we met. When he came to Jacksonville, then he deployed out for his basic or whatever. And so then he got AIT because his MOS is Intel. So when he came, he had to come to Signal and everything. So that's why we met. Because he was in Augusta for his AIT training. And that's basically individual training based on the job description you're going to do. So
gotcha.
I'm going civilian for y'all I've had to work on that too. I'm so proud of myself. I wish you could hear me. I'm really doing my thing. So,
yes, you are. Good for you.
I'm doing my thing.
Doing
I'm so proud.
So,
I had a long time to learn a little bit here tonight.
I really think that was the turning factor for us as a couple. And I will say this about my family. I had a family, because our dynamics in our family are very different. And everybody that's in our circle knows how very close I am with my family. So if he was down with me, then everybody was down with him. And that's just how we do in my family. So it was a very easy transition for him into my family because there were so many people that could relate to his situation. So I think he got comfortable very quickly being around us because he didn't have to go into that explanation because my uncles and them had served and he understood the process.
Well,
so
you
I
know
think
what?
It made it easier when I was trying to get up on my game, like, uncle, what should I be saying? What are the things that I should be looking for?
Gotcha.
And they were really supportive because I think if you don't show the respect, just like I was saying, my daddy was an athlete. My mom made sure that she knew every single thing that my dad was supposed to be doing in his position.
Gotcha.
And that made them a couple that was able to execute like you need to execute in any other. You have to have a partnership. So when I started to take the time to figure out this is what he does, this is what he needs, this is where I need to be in that situation to be supportive because just sitting on the phone and making sure that everything is cool at the house, that doesn't help when my husband comes back with PTSD.
Gotcha.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? And so when you don't know how drastic it is until somebody, you see the actual change in a human being's thought process. So my husband's home and it's 4th of July and we're getting ready for the barbecue and the firecrackers go off and my baby hits the deck because that's what he's used to doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there as a person with no idea what that must feel like.
Right.
So I had to figure out the things that you feel, the anxiety that you have to feel. And I think that's the mistake that a lot of people make when you're in that situation. You have to figure out what it is that's making them feel that way. Whether
right.
you understand it, that's not the role. People go into these situations trying to understand. I don't want to understand what happened in that desert, and they're not going to be able to tell you what happened in that
no,
desert. So don't go there.
Right.
What you need to figure out is the symptoms, figure out how you can make the symptoms better. Like my uncle, he's a Vietnam veteran, just like Mr. Grant, two of them. And I said, I went to my uncle, and I said, Uncle, I need you to tell me what it is. He said, Jasmine, the best thing that ever happened to me is the consistency that was in my home when I returned.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, my chair was where it was, and my clothes, She had sent them to the cleaner, so when I went in my closet, my clothes were there, and
my,
the smells were familiar, and she had my favorite drink in the refrigerator, and
my normalcy.
You have to bring normality back to them very, very quickly. And so I think that's the difference, that you have to realize that this has nothing to do with you. It's all about them, and you have to make that, you have to decide that you're down for that very, very quickly.
Gotcha.
And, you know, one other thing, too. You know, I've got PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
And I didn't realize I had it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't. It's like 30 years, you know. I wasn't the same way I was when I went to Vietnam, but then they came out with this test, you know, for the post-traumatic stress disorder, and the lady said, "You got problems," and I said, "I do." She said, "Yes," and so I mean, you know, they gave me 70%. I was 70% disabled, you know, from post-traumatic stress disorder,
and you
never know, you know. Because, you know, at times I didn't realize I was depressed, and my kids would say, "Dad, are you all right?" And my wife would say, "Baby, are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm not, you know." But I was depressed. I couldn't talk about Vietnam. I couldn't watch a movie about the military, especially combat, because I'd sit and I'd cry profusely. The tears just rolled down. And it still happens to me every now and then.
But it's something that you got to
live with, you know?
Right.
And I think it was through prayer in my church that really got me over.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to let you know, we have a call on the line, a Neil Anderson. He would like to chime in to our conversation. Is that okay with you guys? So I think you guys opened up the floodgates for a lot of conversation tonight.
Oh, yes.
Okay, Mr. Grant, Jasmine, you guys okay with Mr. Neil Anderson to come on?
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah,
okay.
That was good.
Neil, hi, this is Deanne. How are you?
Hi, Dan. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. Oh. Welcome to our discussion tonight.
How you doing,
Mr. Mario?
Yes. How you doing, Mr. Mario? Mr. Grant.
All right. Is this Neil out of Tampa?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Okay. What's your question, Mr. Neil? Come on, join the conversation. You got a question?
Well, it's not as much a question as it is a declaration.
Go ahead.
I've been knowing Sergeant Grant pretty much my whole life, and I'd like to do something tonight I've never really done.
Okay.
I never really gave a thought about it, I'd really like to thank him for his service to keeping me safe and free and all of our family safe and free. And as long as I've known him, he's been in the military, and I never really gave a thought to that aspect of it because I was too busy looking at the man and how he lived his life outside of the military. I was able to see that side of it.
Right.
So I never really focused on that part, but it's like, wow, I never thanked him for his service to the country and for keeping us safe, and especially in this time when we got terrorists flying in the buildings and all kinds of bombings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's never been a time that we should appreciate our military veterans more than right now.
You're absolutely right.
So true.
And I appreciate you calling and giving him a shout out. You know,
thank you. It is.
Mr. Grant, that speaks volumes
is.
About you as a person. That people will call and actually hear you and, you know, actually publicly thank you. You know, I publicly thank you because, Jasmine, I thank your husband. You're protecting me and my liberties. And what you've sacrificed is, I don't know, there's nothing I can give you to ever say thank you. You know, there's no medal.
And just to sit here and listen to Sergeant Grant speak and, you know, hear the things that he's been through, you know.
Yeah.
He's a Vietnam veteran who it took him a long time to realize that he struggled with PTSD. And there are a lot of people out there who do suffer from it, and they don't seek treatment. About 50% of those with PTSD don't seek treatment. And to hear his story and how his kids and everything, you know, that goes to show a different side that a lot of us take for granted and don't really think about.
That was very enlightening.
It is.
When you made the statement that you didn't know why you were feeling well. And when you're in a place where you're trying to get clarity and you're still very cloudy, but yet you don't know why. And I think that a lot of soldiers struggle because that mentality, that unbelievable discipline, that mental discipline that you all possess as soldiers, which is why all of us can't do it.
No.
So that's why when you're saying that we need to stop, if you see a veteran, if you see someone in uniform, you need to stop and say thank you. Because every single day I see these gentlemen and women that are entering, they're younger, they're getting younger and younger, and they're less equipped mentally to do the things that need to be done when you're saying that you're facing people within a war, when you're facing things. But it was such a good thing because when my husband returned with his second tour, he did not know why he was feeling the way that he was feeling.
Wow.
And I think it made him more frustrated because that's what I've learned about soldiers and something very similar to athletes. There's a discipline there that allows you all to thrive, that fight or flight mode that you guys are constantly in.
Right.
And so when a soldier is removed from his playing field, which is the art of war, the art of strategy, and when you're just back into doing regular things, all of that, there's a mental adjustment that soldiers make. And I think we take for granted how long it takes them to get there and how long it's going to take them to get back to, oh, I just need to go to the grocery store and get some milk for my wife.
Right, the simplest of
you know,
things they left with.
Normality, like, Daddy, we just want to go to the game with you. And you have to do so much, like Mr. Grant saying in Vietnam, and like my uncle has shared with me on several times, there were times that he would tell us that I just had to block all of you out as a group.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Because thinking about you all was, I was risking my life.
Wow.
And like there were times where I was talking to my husband, I'm like, why haven't I heard from you? Baby, I can't talk to you and hear your voice and process you and hear you laughing and hearing. I can't do that.
And do his job.
Yeah, do his job. And you're young and you're trying to be like, but I thought we were in love and we're getting married. And they don't have time.
No,
they don't have time. They don't. All they need to know is that you're okay. You're holding me down. And you just need to be okay with that right then. And just judging from what Mr. Grant's saying, he just seems like that type of man, just like my husband. And when he comes home, he does the best he can to bring normality back to his life and mine.
Right.
Because the entire family is deployed. Like Mr. Grant said, he got home and his kids are like, Daddy, you all right? You good? And there were days that I was looking at him like, baby, are you okay? Tell me what it is. But it takes them close to a week. I'm just going off of my experiences, but it takes him close to a week just to get reacquainted back where the forks are at.
Because I was going to ask you,
just all of those things that is normality for me, and you find yourself getting frustrated. Baby, you don't know where the forks are at, but why would he?
Right.
If you've been in a tank and the only thing that you know is the base and the defect, and when you leave out of there, you're in the desert, and then you come back to your home, you haven't had the capabilities to do me and that. And so we take for granted there's so many things because they block out stuff.
Yeah.
But
it takes a special woman to be a military wife. And I applaud my wife daily because, I mean, I often tell her, babe, you know, I'm really sorry I had to leave you those times, but, you know, duty call, I had to go. And I knew the Army was going to be my career. So I had to come out of my comfort zone to be all that I could be.
I was going to ask Jasmine, when he comes home, how is it normally the transition? I know you said it takes a while. Do you notice him struggling with the transition?
I think it's gotten easier, though.
Okay.
It will as time go on.
Yeah, but I think now that we are married and that there's a sense of security in that process now because when you're leaving a person, so many different things can change.
Okay.
Right.
I hate to say that, but I mean, there are some women and men doing folks straight dirty out here in this military situation.
Yeah. And very prevalent.
They come home bankrupt. They come home to nothing.
Right.
And so when you're away, I think it took him a moment to build that trust with me. Like, I'm going to be here. But when he came home and you're married and you're turning the key on the door of the home of you and your wife, and when you have that normality of I'm married, I have a family, and now this is where I return to every time, I think that's a security that makes a soldier realize my kids are going to be here, my mom's going to be here, whatever your normality is, if it's present. But, yeah, we get in the car and he forgets, you know, like, baby, I'm sorry, what street are we going to? Or
Do
I turn left or right here? Or, heaven forbid, something has built up in the neighborhood, you know, like if they put a Dunkin' Donuts over here and the light used to look like this and he's going off a landmark, and now that landmark's not there. And
And you got to give him the time. You got to give him the time to readjust.
Yeah, it's a readjustment. And so I watch him. Now, the first few times it was a struggle, and during his deployments, a lot of things happened. He had the passing of his father and things that, because you come back home and people can be gone, you know?
Yes.
And your friends can be gone, and your parents can pass away, or your grandparents. And so we had to learn to process so many different things that you have no control over.
Okay.
And he's an only child to his father, to his parents.
Wow.
So he has so many, and, you know, he has that choice. His father could have requested, you know, him being an only child, he could have, you know, stayed out in the military. But he's chosen this as his career, so we're going to do the rest of our 10 years.
Okay, now we're going to hold that thought. We're going to hold that thought. Can we hold that thought? We have to go to commercial.
Okay.
You know, I want you guys to actually stay on the line because we have Mr. Childress coming on. I'm going to introduce him when he comes back. Someone I think will be very much a plus to this conversation. So we're going to do You Are Not Alone by Michael Jackson. We're going to take a breather, and we're all going to be right back, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, hold that thought. Hold your thoughts. We'll be right back.
This is Dean Lane giving credit to Max Media Studios, who designed my website, DeanLane.com. They are a video marketing, web design, and branding agency that specializes in generating leads and online sales for authors as well as small business owners. Their services include web design, video editing, online marketing, and graphic design. To learn more about how they can help you like they helped me turn my vision into sales, visit their website at www.maxmediastudios.com/radio or call them at 1-704-699-3524. This is Deanne Lane, giving credit when credit is due. Leave my world so cold.
Welcome back to Love, Life, and Loyalty here on GQ Palace Radio. I'm Mr. Mario with my co-host Deanne Lane here tonight. We have the honor of sharing a story tonight about a disabled military veteran who, by the hands of his fellow countrymen, failed him. In 2006, Sergeant First Class Osler Childress was taken to a Salt Lake County jail after responding to a call to a hotel room in Midvale, Utah. What they found was a man who could not walk. His speech was slurred, adding he had also vomited on the floor, and of course the police were opposed. They thought they were dealing with a drunk. He was thrown into a jail cell for approximately 8 hours, and they assumed he just needed to sleep off his drunken stupor. But they were wrong. Mr. Childress was having a stroke while in his military uniform. Now, before we have Mr. Childress speak, please be patient and listen with a kind ear, because he is still recovering, so his speech is a bit slurred. So just be patient with him. Welcome, Mr. Childress, to the show.
Oh, thank you. How are you doing, Mr. Mario and Mr. Dan?
Yes, hi.
Doing fine. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good.
That's good. We got y'all here. We also have retired Master Sergeant Daniel Grant in the room with us, and we also have Ms. Jasmine Sims here with us tonight, Sergeant Childress.
Oh, hi. Happy thanks, Veterans Day.
Same to you, my brother.
Okay, we ask you a question. Mr. Childress, before we begin, I hear echo. Are you close to any speakers or anything? And if so, could you step away from it?
Okay, 1 second.
Okay, because I hear a little feedback.
Okay, it was another phone.
Okay, not a problem.
Okay.
Okay, let's continue. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, Missy. Don't hear that echo anymore, do you?
Little bit. It's not as bad as it was, but I can still hear echoing a little bit.
Okay, we're gonna get rid of that.
Okay, take your time. Take your time.
Okay. So, Sergeant, tell us about before your stroke. What exactly did you do in the military, and what, you know, where exactly were you headed at before all of this happened to you?
Okay, well, before my stroke, I was a aviation 67 Yankee and a 67 Sierra. In the beginning of my Army career, I was a crew chief for the attack helicopter, the Cobra. So after that, I became a crew chief for the 67 Sierra, which is a surveillance helicopter. They're both fire aircraft, though. They both have guns. Gotcha.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mr. Mario?
So you worked on the, you pretty much worked on the fighter style helicopter.
I did, yeah. I did that for about 15 years, yes.
Okay. So let's go into detail about what exactly happened in Utah and how did you get to Utah?
Okay. Well, I became a detail recruiter after my 15-year. They had a program where they detailed aviation, and I became a recruiter. So from there, I was recruiting for about 3 years. Then I became a station commander. So I went to Las Vegas, drove to Las Vegas, then I had to drive to Utah to sign into my battalion. And from there, you know, I got there about 4:30 or 5 o'clock, so they said come back in the morning to get a fresh start because I was kind of late. So I went and got the hotel room. I got the hotel room, and that's where I had my truck in the hotel. So the people from down below me heard me fall, so they ran. They called down to the front desk, and the lady from the front desk, she came to the room. She saw that I was discombobulated, I guess you can say. And then she ran down and called the police, the fire department, everybody came. The police, the fire department, the ambulance, all of them came. So,
So you had EMTs, you had emergency medical techs and the fire department, and of all people, the police took you.
Yeah, they all came out, yes.
And Miss Mario, if you mind me asking, so they all come out and you are having these symptoms, and of course they're mistaking you as someone being drunk, but in actuality, you're having a full-blown stroke.
In actuality, you know, as far as my symptoms, it's pretty close to the symptoms of having or being drunk. I had slurred speech, I couldn't walk, so they figured I was just drunk. And to me, but actually, I was having a stroke.
Unbelievable.
How long did they keep you in jail?
Well, they kept me in jail for about 9 hours, and you have a 3-hour window to get the shot, which will break up your blood clots and help you to recover faster from your stroke, which I never got that shot because I was in jail.
Let me just give you guys a little tidbit. When you go and see his story and you actually read his story online, you actually see pictures of him in his fatigue, his army fatigues. So it makes you... with a neck brace on. It makes you wonder, you know, when we're talking about your significant other, Jasmine, overseas fighting for us, and Mr. Grant, you know, war, Vietnam, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, when I heard this story, I just could not. I just could not disrespect you in that manner. I mean, police officers tend to, you know, they tend to look out for each other. But when you see someone in the uniform, I don't know what that's all about.
Was there any court proceedings or any type of litigation following this incident?
Well, what happened with that is, you know, my speech was a lot worse than it did now. I could not walk. So after about 4 years, you know, after they just swept it under the rug, so they dismissed it, basically. I never had the chance to get any justice.
So your case was dismissed, and no justice was served. So here you are, if my memory serves me correct, at one point you were confined to a wheelchair from the stroke, correct?
Yes.
Wow.
So we have a military veteran, well, someone who was actually active duty at the time, who was having a stroke and didn't receive medical attention in an appropriate amount of time and had to spend time in a wheelchair. What type of other effects? How did this affect your family and your relationship with your wife and kids?
Well, at the time I was married, so about 3 years later, I guess it was, you know, after she didn't think I was gonna get any better, I guess, and we got that divorce and just. I'm feeling better now, but back then it was rough because I got that divorce. I think I wasn't able to see my child, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
How old is your child, if you don't mind me asking?
He's now 17.
Okay.
So how old was he when you had the stroke, if you don't mind me asking?
When they had my stroke, he was about 9 years old.
Let me ask you, I want to just chime in on this, you know, and I guess for me, I'm lucky. I have to say right today I'm lucky because after, you know, hearing you say he's 9, I know you weren't able to run with him. I know he needed your guidance. He needed your presence.
Definitely. I feel better about that.
And how has that affected your relationship with your son up until this day, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I'm sure it has a major effect because, like you said, I wasn't able to do a lot of things with him. So, and with him being in Omaha, Nebraska, and me in Las Vegas, it's really hard, too.
Mr. Grant, would you like to chime in? I hear you're... I know you're shaking your head because I hear you going,
Yeah, that's kind of rough, you know? When you got somebody in uniform and you know you take for granted that they're drunk and throw them in a tank and you know, and then they sweep stuff like that up under the rug. That's my question is VA, you're getting everything that you need from the VA, or are they?
All
right.
Yeah, the military, they took care of me, but, well, you know, as far as Utah, I didn't get no justice there.
Yeah.
I guess we need to be mindful that if you have a uniform on, I wouldn't say this, don't go through Utah, because if you sneeze the wrong way and you may be in uniform, I don't want to put I want to put a look on it. You know, I know you guys know where I'm going to go with that. I want to put a...
I know.
And I personally, I just want to say to Sergeant Childress, you know, despite what you've been through, me and my co-host Deanne, we both would like to thank you for your service to our country, and we really appreciate, you know, the battle that you fought and the things that you've had to do to help protect our liberties and keep us safe.
Yeah.
And we wanted to get you on the show because maybe someone out there listening that can help you with your case, because obviously it was a situation that wasn't handled appropriately, and something should be done about it.
Yes.
Well, I definitely appreciate that the good wishes, and it's a shame that happened, you know.
Yes, sir.
But I had to move on. I didn't have no other choice.
Yes, sir. So how do you cope? Like, have you been in it? Maybe like depression or post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, anything like that coming from that incident in Utah?
Well,
I went through a post-traumatic stress in the early stages, but now I'm a lot better now. I got the, you know, a level of my life, and things are looking up, you know, but back then it was rough.
Well, can I just say, we have a call on the line. Caller, could you state your name?
Yes, my name is Codename Dirty Rice, a.k.a. DR. They call me Dirty Rice.
Okay, how can I help you tonight?
I've been listening to what's been going on, and my brother, I feel you. You know, I'm a veteran myself, and I've seen myself some very traumatic measures in my time in the military. I have an attorney that I had to hire to kind of help me out with some of the things that I was going through with that. And hopefully I can probably leave the number a little bit later with Ms. Deanne.
Yes,
and
leave that number with us. Please do. We definitely would love that number. We want somebody to reach out and help him and give him some justice, because this story, you know, if you haven't seen it, it just appalls you. But go ahead. I'm sorry. DR?
Yes, DR.
Yes.
So, I mean, I could say it on the radio if it's okay with you guys. You know, I don't.
Sure. If you want to give us a number, I'll write it down. No problem.
Yeah, the phone number is, it's in Atlanta. Cause I'm calling from Georgia. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia right now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. The number is
404-467-9017. Who am I going to call? Who would be my contact person?
His name is Douglas Sullivan.
Douglas Sullivan?
Yeah, but that too.
Don't worry about that, Mr. Chelsea. We got you. Douglas Sullivan.
Thank you.
Okay, DR, I really appreciate that. And are you a veteran yourself, am I correct?
That's correct.
Where did you serve? What branch?
I was in the Army. I did 8 years, four active, four reserve, honorable discharge. I was in the 1/8 infantry. You know, that was my team, and that was my patch that I wore. And, you know, I've seen so much, and I lost a couple of friends, and today has been a little touching for me today because I lost those 2 friends while I was serving, you know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Grant, can you lend him some information? I mean, you know, could you give him a little bit of advice? I mean, you've seen it all. I mean, I have to take my hat off. Not to say that it's any different, but you know, you survived it, and yet you've internalized it, and you're the go-to person to give that advice.
I would highly recommend, a congressional, get in touch with your congressman or state senator. I wouldn't just let this go. I would try to get a congressional inquiry on why this happened. And you know, I know it's been a while, but it's never, you know, something like that need to be addressed.
I agree, but you know, Utah, they got different rules because you got to have an attorney out of Utah. Or that, see, I'm in Vegas, so that's real difficult to get me an attorney out of Utah, you know.
Well, we always can go out of Utah and bring somebody into Utah.
Yeah, and if you start a congressional, you probably get a congressman or a senator to take your, you know, to address your case, even though you may not be in his district. You know, you may can get some help from them. That's what I would do, because I found out that a congressional know, you know, they know there's going to be, everything is going to be brought to light, you know, with an investigation. They just can't sweep it up under the rug.
Right.
So that would be my recommendation to you at this time, you know, and also talk with that attorney, because in a lot of cases, attorneys take your case, you know, if they see it's a case, you know, something they can do, they'll take it on consignment, you know, not on consignment, but they'll, you know, they'll work it out for you.
Right.
But look into that. Don't let it go.
I'm going to encourage him, and if I can point someone in his direction myself personally, just as someone who knows he wore the uniform, my husband wore the uniform, and after meeting you and Jasmine, it's been and like I said, Mr. Charles, he left a great impression on me because he has a spirit that is so resilient, and he's not angry, he's not bitter, and he's just a genuinely sweet, very humble. And I don't know if I could be him. He's a better person than me. I'm being honest. The better person than me.
Yeah.
And for that, I want to definitely just do the one thing that would, you know, I think, not to make me feel good, but it's the right thing to do. Because you can't just...
I appreciate that.
Looking at the pictures, I mean, like if you upload the information on him, it's outrageous.
And for the listeners out there, if you go to Google and just type in Osler, O-S-L-E-R, Childress, you'll be able to see the video, the news clip from Utah that actually shows him in uniform. Going through this process, and I want to ask Sergeant Childress, what was that like in that moment, like going through having a stroke and being stuck in a jail cell?
Well, like I said, I was going through a stroke, but hit by head, that what we absorbed. That's when they said some kind of drug going. This was 8 hours later. I hit my head. They put me on the bench. First of all, usually they put you with the other prisoners or whatever, but they put me in the cell by myself. So, you know, they knew I wasn't drunk.
Okay.
Wow.
You're trying to put you with the rest of with everyone else.
Wow.
Did at any point in time did you, you know, feel like you were fearing for your life, or, you know, felt like it was the end? I would imagine going through that process, like, you got people who get treated in, you know, less than an hour, but having to go through it for 7, 8, 9 hours like you did, I could only imagine having your body in a state of shock for so long.
I believe I passed out because I didn't know what until the next morning I was out of it. So I was passed out, so I didn't know.
We didn't know. You know, that's just something in the uniform, a military uniform. And, Mr. Grant, Jasmine.
Yeah.
Do you understand? I wish I could scream, but I know I'm not. I can't right now. But you're a military soldier. You sworn to protect me on our soil.
Yeah.
How could they? How dare they?
It's just really sad when you examine the treatment of veterans. But I look at something as drastic and as sad as his situation in uniform problematic, you see what's happening, and you're trying to disguise it with some type of drunken behavior.
Thank you.
But it's just a notorious cycle.
Yes.
And like Mr. Grant says, and I mean, it's stemming from the Vietnam War and on, that this country is very capable of doing way more than what they do. The response and respect of veterans is nowhere near where it should be.
Definitely.
And when you look at the simple things that happen, when just being able to get here and get readjusted or relocating or people moving across the country and you waiting on your check to get your moving truck. I mean, just simple things. You want a person to report to the base that you've stationed them at. I mean, there's just always this constant struggle, and this is the job. And without them, these people don't have jobs.
No.
They don't have an economy.
There you go.
We don't have a country. Without our military. And the way that it's viewed, I've never been more flabbergasted. And like, I've taken steps for my husband. He's like, you know, I'm going to be covered, we'll be good, the military. And I'm just saying, as a person that is not coming from a military background, and I'm just a straight up civilian, I don't believe them.
Right.
I don't believe what you say.
Right.
And so I'm going to put him on my Aflac, and I put him on all these different things, because you never know when the bottom's going to fall out. And like this brother that's sitting on the phone who was doing his job and got sick, and it's not like he was in some Wild Wild West shootout. This brother was on top of a Black Hawk helicopter doing his job.
Right, doing
and
his job.
And so if they will dismiss something that serious, then you know they're going to dismiss mental issues. You know they're going to dismiss acclimation issues. They just don't care.
Right.
I'm not going to sit by and let, because there's so many things that I tell my husband. I said, you too lax on that.
Yes.
Trust him too much.
Yeah. You know,
I'm not going to let him do that. So I take the extra steps that I need to take for just situations like this, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
And there's too many wounded warriors that's not getting the treatment that they deserve.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you should never have to fight for something that you've earned, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what upsets me right now, because you got to go through all of this paperwork when they could, the guy got wounded in Iraq, you know. So, I mean, you know he was wounded. Why does he have to go through all of these changes to get the medical care
right.
that
right.
he needs?
Got
you know,
off the plane healthy.
It's frustrating, you know. Just
but
even,
now he's coming back hurt.
Yeah,
right.
You
know when it happened. You know where it happened. You know how it happened.
Right.
Yes.
And so you've asked these people every single day, give up your life for this. There's a possibility that you will not see your family again. It's a possibility that you will not return home. But when you do get home, we appreciate you, and they push you off to the side as if, you know, you just went on a Ferris wheel ride. Like, we're at the fair, and this is like a temporary situation.
Like, it's all your fault, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
you have to remember, there was a time when a lot of congressmen served in the war. So when they came back and served us as our congressmen and our senators, they understood the fight. But now... You got rich kids who have never gone to the military.
When you still looking at the Congress, which I think is even more insulting, because at the end of the day, this is all going to fall down to economics.
There you go.
Yeah.
And if the you know what I'm saying, let's just be real. What it is, it's going to be
economics.
And if the Veterans Association or the VA or whatever the situation is, you got a lobbyist sitting in a room. They done took you to dinner, and this is what they want you to lobby for.
There you go.
But if the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and all their lobbyists are like, well, we got $1 million more for you, and when this comes on, it's all about econ. So it's about that currency. And I don't care what the situation is. If you've been a veteran and you're coming back into a situation, you're broke, you're unemployed, whatever has happened, and you've seen that struggle, and now somebody's talking about they lining your pockets with $500,000 tax-free money,
there
these people no longer care about what happened to their battle buddy. They no longer care what's up with his neighbor next door that's coming home with amputated limbs. They're about that dollar. And until we stop making excuses for these people that we vote in, that's where we're dropping the ball. We vote these people in and then expect to get a return, and knowing what we saw, we knew what their platform was 4 years ago.
There you go.
We get to the, polls and we're lazy and we're not doing our research. But at the end of the day, if they got to choose people or if they got to choose an econ, they're choosing economics every time.
Exactly.
And that's what's happened to our veterans. It's cheaper to just keep this war going than to invest this money back into the Veterans Assistance Program. It's easier for us to let the wounded warriors do a nonprofit situation instead of making them a part of federal funding. They know exactly what they're doing, but it's all about economics. But until we as civilians start fighting for our veterans, nothing is going to change. Because if you can go into Walmart and pass by and buy whatever you want and do whatever you want and not once think about how you have that liberty, then you don't care either.
You know what? On that, I want you guys to hold that thought for just a moment. We'll take a quick commercial break. No one hang up, please. No, go, please. Don't go anywhere. Please don't leave us, okay? We'll be right back, okay? We'll take a quick commercial break and a quick Take Me Back by Jonathan Butler.
Okay.
This is Dean Lane giving credit to Max Media Studios, who designed my website, DeanLane.com. They are a video marketing, web design, and branding agency that specializes in generating leads and online sales for authors, as well as small business owners. Their services include web design, video editing, online marketing, and graphic design. To learn more about how they can help you like they helped me turn my vision into sales, visit their website at www.maxmediastudios.com/radio or call them at 1-704-699-3524. This is Deanne Lane, giving credit when credit is due.
Take me back again.
is Deanne here on Love, Life, and Loyalty here on Keep House Radio with my co-host, Mr. Mario. We have a room full of wonderful people, okay?
We have a wife
who's waiting for a husband who's going to make sure things are just right for him no matter what, you know? And we have Mr. Grant, been there, done that, who could tell us a story on top of a story on top of a story, and there'll still be more stories. And then you have Mr. Childress, who is someone who has been through what you would call the unimaginable. And Mr. DR is still there.
Yes, I'm still here.
And Mr. DR, here you are, a military gentleman calling in. I'm assuming you're good. You're good, right? You got out safely in one piece, other than seeing some of your friends die or just, you know, not make it out of the situation. Am I correct? So here I'm a room full of wonderful people who just, you know, if I had wings from heaven to give you, I would give you a set of wings and a couple of spears in your closet because you're angels for me. You represent a very small amount of our society that are willing to go there for me. And I personally want to say thank you. And I just, you know, I definitely chose the music correctly. I like to think. I want to make sure you guys know I'm celebrating you in a positive way because this, I mean, again, I'm listening to all of you guys, and I don't know. I didn't know words for you.
I think they brought a lot of topics to light that the average person may not think of
when they come to the
military, and I think a lot of us back here on American soil take for granted what these people are doing when they leave off our soil and when they depart from this country to go out and keep us safe.
But I'm gonna just chime in real quick. But Jasmine, you know, you not Mr. Grant, not to take anything from the gentleman in the room, but Jasmine, you know, when we see the soldiers leave, we forget about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mr. Grant.
Yeah, go
ahead.
And just not to interrupt you, but I think there's a lot of, I think as a soldier's wife, and I've taken such a different outlook on it. I just think that there's such a stigma unless you don't know who you are before that process begins. And if you grow, I find that either you have to know who you are before you get involved with the soldier, or you have to grow with the soldier that you're with. And so me being a wife, I think there's a lot of stigma that comes along with being a military wife sometimes, like this whole woe is me, help me, Lord, I'm waiting till we get back kind of thing.
I don't get that from you.
Those were the things that I observed in my age bracket. You know what I'm saying? Not the veterans' wives of Vietnam veterans and people that, you know, even the Gulf War people that had a different outlook on it. But when I look at the women and I just have to be surrounded, and I thank God for my sorority and the military wives that have been a part of that and have helped me with this process. But you have to be proactive.
Right.
Exactly.
As a wife. You can't be reactive. I don't, and my personality doesn't allow me to be reactive because that's more energy out of my life with my husband for us to have a productive life. And so the military, if that's what he's chosen, I'm going to ride with him just like if he chose to be the mayor. But the fact of the matter is that you have to start making decisions to make the military just that, his career.
Right.
And start developing a life for you and your children or whatever the route is that you're going. So I see a lot of wives, they wait. They're waiting for them to come home. They're waiting for them to come. But there's nothing in place for them to bounce back from. You know, there's nothing. What have you done for yourself? Now, me, myself, I was very involved with my pastor and getting a glimpse of who I need to be in God's eyes. Was joined this Bible study group where I was with wives and we were examining the nature of war through the Bible, and because war is going to always be, and which means if there's always war, there's always going to be soldiers.
There you go.
And you know, and people don't look at it that way. So when you are placed in that position, I just think that I have to do what I have to do so he can survive and so that he can be sane and that I can be sane in the process. And I will fight for every part of that that I need, whatever I need to do to get that. Because, like I said, I don't trust the system. I know that he's the most patriotic person that I know, and I love him for that. And he's taught me so many things that I needed to learn about how many things I've taken for granted as a civilian in this country. And he's opened my eyes. I was like, you know what? I was horrible. I was not doing what I was supposed to be doing as an American citizen, supporting you in that process. And I thank God. I think that's another reason God has brought him to me, because my outlook is so much different as an educator. I look at education differently. I look at the liberties that our children wouldn't have without the military. Just so many things have been brought to my eyes. And so I'm going to do everything that I need to do to make sure that for the next 10 years or for whatever he decides to do with the military, that I'm a part of it. But I'm not going to trust the system that has let down our just so many brothers and sisters that come back to us broken. It's just, I just have seen so many things. A good friend of ours, like Pat Tillman, we saw him leave the NFL. We saw him enter into the military. Watched that whole process. We watched his family go through trying to find out what happened to their son. Come to find out it's friendly fire. And we watched that diminish into nothing. I mean, we literally watched it. But what was so ironic, but when he was Pat Tillman, the Arizona Cardinal, I have nothing bad to say, because that's how, I mean, that's what we are. We are a professional athlete family, and that was my cousin's teammate. And so when he was Pat Tillman, there was nothing these people wouldn't have done. And it's so funny that the investigation for him, we know that his investigation was more in-depth because the NFL made sure they fostered a decent investigation for his death.
So me ask you a question.
I think about how many brothers and sisters are missing in action, are prisoners of war, are their people, their families are waiting for them. We need information, but nobody's going to follow up on that because he did not provide some type of economic funding to somebody's pocket. And that's just what it is. So I'm looking at Pat Tillman. Oh, the Arizona Cardinals are going to find out because they still owe him money on his contract that he left to go join the military. So we're going to find out about this $15 million that we still owe him. So y'all need to find out what happened before we cut this check to his people. So that's how the country works. It's all intertwined. We just need to figure out how we're going to fit into making it work for all of those that come back after all of this is done.
Yes.
And I got a question for the three veterans. Not to cut you off, Ms. Sims.
I got a question
for the veterans on the line. For Ms. Sims being the husband of being the wife of a deployed soldier, and you guys having been deployed here and there, you know, what? Give some advice to the husbands and wives that stay back home for what can they do to make that transition back home easier for the men and women in the military.
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, knowing that you got a strong wife at home and things are going good on the home front, it helps out a lot when you're overseas. And when you come back, you know, you just want to be with your family. And you know, it's a process that you go through that I really can't quite put my finger on it. But I know that when each time that I was deployed and I came back home, you know, I knew my wife had taken care of everything, you know, because I had to turn all of my bills over to her. You know, when I was at home, I tried to take care of all that stuff. But after the first, going to Vietnam for the first time, I said, here's the checkbook. You just give me X number of dollars, and I'll open up another checking account. And, you know, and I would have, and I didn't care what, you know, as long as she had enough to take care of the family. And I made sure that that was, you know, before I left that was, you know, was in place. And so when I came back, it was just, it was, you know, we were always been in the church. So I had a church family there for my wife. And when I came back, you know, they were, you know, embraced me And it made it a lot easier, especially when you got people, positive people around you, you know.
Mr. Childress, are you there?
I'm there listening. I agree with that. I think people need to do stuff together, you know, be a part of each other's life before anything like that happens, like getting employed or anything. If you build that family unit beforehand, you don't have much to worry about.
Okay. Mr. DR, are you still there? Mr. DR, are you still, Mr. DR, you still there? Is he gone? He's gone. Okay.
I want to ask another question. Mr. Grant, I know that you've been retired for several years now, and there are a lot of homeless veterans who come back from combat, or they get done and they end up homeless or in a bad situation. What's some advice maybe you could give to those who are currently serving as to things they could put into place now so they could be comfortable for retirement or when they leave the military?
Well, you know, I'd like to tell every young man on active duty right now, look outside of the box. You know that being military is just temporary. I retired when I was 46 years old, and I believe in investments and stuff like that. Now they have the thrift savings plan for military. You know, take the max, do the max on that. When you get a pay raise, you don't have it now. Invest that pay raise.
Right.
Prepare for retirement. I'll tell any young person, I have 3 retirements. And it feels good to know that, I didn't sit around and tell about, oh, I'm retired now. You know, I got my military. No, I went out and I got one job, worked for the state, and then I went to work for the federal government. Then I went to the state and my Social Security. So you got to prepare yourself for that time that when you get out of the military. I'll tell everybody, don't worry about what the Joneses is doing right now.
Yeah.
Because at the end, you know, you want to be able when one of the relatives calls, let's go to Hawaii or let's go to Europe or somewhere, you don't have to worry about, well, you know, I got to save up the money. How much is it going to cost? You can say, okay, when are we going, you know?
Right.
And it's so easy to do that. It sounds kind of hard, but it's so easy. I started taking all of my pay raises from the time I made E7 and till I retired. Over half of my career, I was an E8. So
wow.
I had nine years and 8 months time in grade when I retired. But all my pay raises, I either invested or put it into a savings plan.
Well, you
and
know
so,
what? You know, that's great advice. And I think so many people, young people, they don't look at, you know, listen, you get a pay raise, learn to live on what you already have. And tomorrow is not, you know, you know, people say tomorrow's that promise to you, but guess what? What if it is?
Another
thing I think young people don't realize is you're going to be older a lot longer than you're going to be young.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it. So listen, I want to make a quick say, you know, tonight I will say one thing. I've learned so much in this conversation. Right. Then I can, let me tell you something, Veterans Day will never be the same for me again, okay? simply because of this little room of people, maybe a little room, but you know what? To me, it's the biggest room I've ever been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You told me about what it is to be an American and to know that, you know, you guys, sacrifice, that's a word.
The other side of the story, like actually being in it.
You're in it.
Coming back. A lot of people, like, they just go over there and they come back and that's it. But the wear and tear that it takes on you mentally, like you said, you've been retired over 20 years and you're still dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder.
That's something. And, you know, Jasmine, you're dealing with it. And, Mr. Childress, I can imagine what you're dealing with, you know, as far as the PTSD underneath these circumstances, though it was no fault of your own other than, you know, something that just happened just through nature and no one cared enough to take the extra step for you. And And I just have to take my hat off to you. Like I said, you know, you're at home in America. The war is already against you. I don't get that, but you know, I don't get it.
I didn't have a voice. That's all. I couldn't speak. I didn't have a voice. So.
But
I
you
just
know,
got
your
taken
uniform.
Advantage.
I don't mean to say. I mean, you were taken advantage of. I will say that. But when you're in uniform, I'm just thinking. Guys,
yeah.
is it, you're in uniform. Isn't that enough for someone to stand attention?
And the
irony that he was in uniform on American soil and did not get the help that he received, but they can be in the Middle East right now, and there are several soldiers that are walking around in civilian clothes because their uniform puts them in harm's way.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're in a situation. So the ironic purpose that has been placed is just an irony that's unbelievable.
You
could be
and
here
I to
and see that and just leave him alone.
And to Ms. Sales, I want to thank you for being on the show as that leader that's being that voice of
girl.
I'm currently going through with it. And you may not know it, but you might inspire somebody or help somebody who's going through that situation.
Yeah.
So
well, thank you guys for
thank
having
you
me.
Well.
It's really important that everybody knows every side. And the family's usually ignored. Like we're just here. So thanks for letting people hear the other part of it.
Well, you know, we may have to have you back, you and Mr. Grant, Mr. Chelsea, because you know why? You guys, you really opened up, you know, a side of a conversation many people don't want to have. Because it's,
but
know,
I
want
to come back on if they're going to be on because I like them.
That's what you would say. I want to have you back.
Yeah.
I want you all back. I love you guys.
I like you, brothers. We can definitely make a move on that.
Yes, definitely. We'll have you back. I really think you because, you know, military stuff, you know, the military life, not stuff, the military life, a lot of people just don't get it.
They just don't know.
So listen, it's that time, guys, where we have to actually shut down shop. But you know what? There will be, you guys will be back, guaranteed.
Well, thank you.
And
thank you.
I miss Mr. Grant. I want to say this to you. Don't nobody hang up, Mr. Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I want to salute you. I want to say thank you for all of your service, and
well, thank you
for being so honest and open. And giving the advice that most of, you know, again, Jasmine needed your advice because she's a wife, you know. She's a wife, you know what I mean? And then Mr. Childress, he can at least hear another fellow, you know, I have to say, you know, another fellow soldier, you know, brother, have a conversation and empathize with him a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And I appreciate
you.
I'm not finished with you yet. Wait a minute now. I want to say thank you to you, Mr. Childress.
Yes.
Because
you are
somebody who really, again, you inspired me. I told you that before. You inspired me because someone to go through what you went through, you have no spite. And I love you for that. You have a heart.
Yes, I'll be
no
praying
problem.
For
thank
you, Mr. Childress. I hope everything
it.
Works out for you.
Yeah, you know, we're going to try our best to make something happen. And Ms. Jasmine? Girl.
Yes, ma'am.
You need a spa day every day and a massage.
Well, you know, you gotta be about your business. And if your business is your husband, be about your business. Be about what you need to be about. Because you're all they have.
Yes. Yeah,
and people
so
need
true.
To recognize that. But thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I enjoyed
guys.
Myself.
I appreciate you all greatly. Mr. Mario, before we go out of here, anything you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you once again for all our guests, and hopefully we can get y'all back on the show sometime.
Definitely.
Sure.
I definitely, you know, guys, thank you again. I salute you. Enjoy this rest of this evening. I wish we weren't so late. I have you guys on for the rest of the night. Let's hang out. We got to hang out. All right? So listen, you guys have a great night. We appreciate you very much. And we're going to take this on out tonight with a beautiful song by Brian McKnight and Kirk Franklin. The One, the One, I believe. And I love this song because it talks about what's really going on out here. So listen, this is Deanne Lane and my co-host, Mr. Who?
Mr. Mario.
Mr. Mario.
Yes, Mr. Mario. Listen, we're so glad that you guys joined us tonight. And I thank my guests. Thank our guests. And
Thank you.
We enjoyed you so much. We really did. And we will have you back very, very soon. And again,
well,
we want to say good night on Love, Life, and Loyalty on GQ Palace Radio. And you guys sleep tight. And I salute all of my veterans, active and non-active. Good night.
God
Be
bless.
Safe. God bless you too. Say good night. Good night, everybody.
This is Dean Lane giving credit to Max Media Studios, who designed my website, DeanLane.com. They are a video marketing, web design, and branding agency that specializes in generating leads and online sales for authors, as well as small business owners. Their services include web design, video editing, online marketing, and graphic design. To learn more about how they can help you like they helped me turn my vision into sales, visit their website at www.maxmediastudios.com/radio or call them at 1-704-699-3524. This is Deanne Lane, giving credit when credit is due.
For every little girl and every little boy whose mother and father is across the waters fighting the war that they know nothing about, we pray for you tonight. God help us. Listen.
We were in another time. Can't waste it.
Can't waste it.
Have you seen the news today?
War is on the uprise.
He said it was to be this way. Lord, I know that millions won't make it.
Yes, Lord.
This life's all I have to live and I'm gladly given to be one of the ones who did.
Thank you.
Ever since creation, we've been counting down the time from then to now, and we would see nations fighting nations. I hide the word inside my heart, then I read about men inventing weapons of mass destruction to tear us all apart. But like the rising of the sun, we're waiting for you to come and take us away, those of us who believe in you. Believe me when I say,
we're in another time, can't waste it.
Have you seen it?
Have you seen the news today?
Yes, Lord.
War is on the uprise.
He said it was to be this way. Lord, I know that millions won't make it.
But I'm so glad, Jesus.
This life's all I have to live and I'm glad again to be one of the ones who did.
I'm gonna hang on to you, Lord. I'm gonna stay strong for you, Lord. I'm gonna keep holding on, gonna keep holding on to your unchanging hand. Lord, you know the plan that you have for me. Not my will, but your way. And I'm gonna follow that way, Lord. Oh, Lord, I've made up mine. I'm willing to go on through. I'm not gonna worry about what my friends might say or my friends might do. Follow you, Lord. I'm gonna follow.
pray right now that you hear our cries for peace, for restoration. Give us hope right now. Without you, we can't make it. We've tried, and we're sorry. But we look to the hills from which cometh our help, because we know our help comes from you. We're going to hold on. So we're going to hold on to you. We're not going to let go this time, Father. We're going to trust and have faith size of a mustard seed. Bless your name, Father. You're worthy. You're worthy.